Chapter 41. The city streets had a different feel to it in mid-morning. They were quieter than he had seen before. The children were in school or apprenticed in their future trade. The adults were either working their trade or craft or else caring for their households. Arthur received a couple of long looks, but after passing his graduation tests, Freya had given him a new chip to carry. It was a circle of black, polished stone with a hole carved in the middle. It now sat strung on the necklace next to the one Kenzie had given him. Now all who saw it would know he was graduated and could be out during school time. Arthur found the nearby canal and walked along the path beside it without being stopped. Soon enough, the canal joined the main river. Following the edges against the current, he bypassed shops that grew fancier. Finally, Arthur came to the entrance of the hive. Well, one of the entrances. 8 ground-level entrances ringed around the hive in total. This one, southeast, was impressive. It was an arch of marble cut in blocks of rainbow colors, from white on one end, shading slowly up the spectrum through yellow and reds in the middle. From there it darkened on the other side, through the purples and a blue so dark it was almost black. Several guards in impressive-looking outfits stood on either side of the large arch. They were the ones who examined and approved all traffic in and out. There was a line each for carts and people on horseback going by in either direction, and a line for individuals on foot. By the way, some of the guards held out hands and murmured to themselves. They must have a seeker card and were looking for contraband. He was glad he had the foresight to deactivate his trap card. Arthur joined the end of the line for the people on foot. He stood out because he was one of the few who was not carrying a pack. When he got to the front of the line, the guard frowned down at him.
Are you coming to see your parents?
In answer, Arthur pulled out the necklace with Kenzie's chip strung on the end.
I'm here to see my recruiter.
The man looked over it carefully.
Kenzie and Martine, eh?
He turned to an assistant who held a thick bundle of papers.
Here she is. Level 5, apartment 103.
So, Kenzie had been promoted up a level. Was it because she had recruited him? The guard continued.
Go straight up there with no dawdling. I'll send a message on ahead.
He nodded to a younger teen who wore a much less decorated uniform. The teen rushed off to a nearby hut, likely to activate some card anchor device.
No dawdling,
Arthur repeated, nodding once. That, of course, was a lie. He intended to meet Kenzie and exchange his card shards, but he intended to take his time about it. The guard gestured him in. Like the rest of the city, the area inside the hive seemed empty of activity. Most of who were visible were workers getting on with their duties. By now, Arthur had seen the sheer mind-boggling work when a new scourge eruption was announced somewhere within the kingdom. During those times, the hive became, well, a hive of activity. People and dragons boiled out of the hive through portals that the shimmering dark green dragons opened. All support staff inside and outside were on high alert. When the dragons returned, card shards flowed into the city, bringing wealth and the promise of new magic. And dragons and their riders died. People didn't talk about that much in the orphanage, but the teachers and staff were sure to prod the kids about interest in the hive after a difficult eruption. Arthur wasn't afraid of the Scourgelings. Not much, anyway. And he knew that working with the hive was the best path to more shards and full cards. But he was grateful that legendary eggs were rare. He still had time to grow and develop more skills, more time to decide what he wanted to do with his life. The ground level of the hive was level 1. Arthur briefly glanced around before he found a staircase upward. Level 1 commissary held only the most basic of supplies, with prices not different than what he would get in the city. Arthur's new morning job working in the orphanage kitchen would take care of his basics. He walked on. Level 2 had a greater range of supplies for sale, including some new shirts and a quilt that tempted him. But surely the higher levels would have a steeper discount. The 3rd level was better still, though there was no sign of trash tier commons cards for sale. Those would be on the 4th level. However, Arthur passed by the 4th level commissary completely. He didn't think anyone had managed to connect him to the missing card, but he didn't want to risk it. The 4th level must have represented a significant barrier. When he got to the top of the staircase there,
He had to show his recruitment chip to another pair of guards who barred the way. They glanced at it before letting him through. The tunnels were busier with people, too. Most had depictions of dragons emblazoned on their jackets or clothing. Arthur walked by a small group of men and women chatting clustered in a knot and taking up the entire tunnel. He scooted up against the wall to get past them. A hand landed on his shoulder.
"What's this? A little common trying to get past without acknowledging his betters?"
Arthur looked up to see a tall young man with a streak of sunshine blonde hair. He had a build and healthy, clear skin that screamed he was carded.
"Deacon, what are you doing?"
one of the man's friends asked.
"I tire of these common trash riders sneaking by without acknowledgement. It's rude."
The man had a strange, formal way of speaking. Some phrases clipped as if they sat on the end of his lips.
"I'm not a rider,"
Arthur said cautiously, unsure if this was a joke or not.
"What are you doing in the Dragon Rider tunnels?" "Seeing my recruiter."
By the way, one of the man's friends snickered, that had been a mistake. Deacon's blue eyes lit up.
"Oh, you must be new. I suppose your recruiter never told you about the toll."
"The toll?"
"To be among us. What do you have in those greasy little pockets of yours?"
The man snapped his fingers impatiently.
"Come on now. Coins or shards?"
Arthur shrugged the restraining hand away.
"I don't got nothing."
The man clicked his tongue.
"Lying to a dragon rider. That's a punishment. Now you owe me double."
Twisting, Arthur turned to run. He got two steps before an invisible force pushed him as if he had been shoved from behind. He took his next step long and landed hard. The invisible push crashed down on his head, and Arthur was knocked to his knees. It only took a moment for Deacon to reach him and haul him back to his feet. This time, the force pushed him against the tunnel wall. Arthur's mouth opened in an involuntary grin as the skin from his face was pulled tight with the force. Deacon didn't look concerned. He turned to his friends, who were frowning but didn't object.
"Tell me he has something worth my time."
He looked at Arthur.
"Else you'll be shoveling my dragon shit to the fields for the next week."
The male sighed.
"He has something heavy with magic under his jacket, right side. Arthur's card anger bag."
Deacon reached for it. Even struggling against the invisible force, Arthur tried to fight him back. But the man was stronger and taller, and Arthur had no skills to help him. Combat was outside his card's capabilities.
"What's going on?"
Arthur's heart leaped with hope at the familiar voice. Deacon stepped away, and Arthur turned his head to the side to see Kenzie standing not too far away.
"My, if it isn't little Kenzie, the silver who wants to be a white,"
Deacon sneered. Kenzie's hip cocked.
"Are you hassling my recruit, Deacon? That's worth a duel,"
she smiled.
"How long did it take you to stop crying the last time?"
Abruptly, the weight pressing Arthur back vanished. He inhaled a surprised breath, tipping forward. Deacon caught him, all sweet and pleasant.
"I don't know what you're talking about. I was just helping your little pet find his way through the tunnels. It's a real maze in here."
"Uh-huh."
Kenzie jerked her head to the side. To Arthur's shock, the three walked away. They threw venomous looks at her, but if they had tails, they'd be tucked under their legs. Kenzie gave Arthur a quick up and down.
"Did he steal anything? Are you okay?"
He appreciated the pragmatism that made her ask about the shards before his health.
"No, and yes."
He looked at their retreating backs and then at Kenzie.
"I thought the hive was safe." "Well, you won't get mugged by a criminal, but you may get a shakedown by some reject nobles with an attitude problem. Come on."
She gestured for him to follow her. Then she turned and strode in the opposite direction of where Deacon and his group had gone. Arthur hastened to catch up. Questions tumbled out before he could help himself.
"How did you find me? Were those nobles? What did he mean about Martine? Did you really beat him in a duel? How?"
She rolled her eyes.
"Does he look like he could beat me in a duel? He used card magic on me. I couldn't move. I was glued to the wall." "He rides in orange."
She tipped her hand back and forth in a so-so gesture.
"They don't go for the destructive, transformative cards like reds, or the light-based stuff like the yellows. Deacon repels people away, like his personality doesn't do that enough. His dragon is the opposite, sucks you in. And you beat that?
He couldn't keep the surprise out of his voice.
How?
Same way I found you. I saw a whole lot of emotion coming down this tunnel.
But...
Kenzie flicked two fingers in a twisting motion, and suddenly Arthur was laughing, hysterically. It was a little like being tickled, and there was no real joy in it, just a bodily reaction, as if something had their thumb pressed on a button where everything was funny, but at the same time, nothing was at all, because he could not stop. He couldn't tell if he was screaming or laughing or on the verge of sobbing. And just as suddenly, and all at once, it did stop.
Doubled over, Arthur heaved for breath.
When he looked up, Kenzie gave him a sympathetic smile.
What did you...
he started to say, voice raw.
What? I've collected a few cards that have synergized with mine and Martine's,
she said.
It's not a set, but it works for the two of us. That's why Deacon's pissy. White dragons mess with the mind.
He had been warned about white dragons, Arthur remembered. Now he knew why. He licked dry lips.
Can they? Can you read thoughts?
She asked lightly. Too lightly. Arthur jerked back in surprise. Now her smile had a definite tinge of sadness, as if she had said this many times.
Just emotions. I'm uncommon, not rare.
He spent a moment wondering if that were true. Could she change his thoughts? No. If she could read his thoughts, she would know about his legendary rank card. If she could change his mind, surely she'd make him give it up. Arthur nodded.
You made Deacon cry in the duel. Like a baby who had his rattle taken away,
she said in satisfaction. Then, unexpectedly, she rested an arm across his shoulders in a big sisterly way.
You're my recruit, so it's my job to teach you to defend yourself, too.
Really?
Sure.
Then she turned him to the right, and they came to large double doors. Kenzie pushed them open, and they walked into an apartment easily twice the size of her last.
So,
Kenzie said, perching on the edge of her bed.
Why haven't you stuck that trap card back in your heart yet?
Arthur froze, with a feeling like he'd just been caught stealing raisins from the bowl. His first fleeting thought to deny it died when he saw the certainty in Kenzie's face, and remembered the feeling of out-of-control, hysterical laughter. Suddenly, he understood why Deacon and his friends had left so quickly after she showed up.
How did you know? Oh.
He stopped as it came to him. Of course his trap card would have activated the moment Deacon used magic on him. That it didn't was all the tell Kenzie needed.
I get why it's inconvenient,
Kenzie said.
You don't want to be transported somewhere at the drop of a hat. But keeping a rare in a card anchor bag, especially a cheap one like yours, is a recipe for disaster. You're supposed to be some sort of cook, right? You know recipes?
Yeah, he was supposed to be a cook. Too bad he didn't have the class for it.
I told you I'm aiming for another type of rare card.
He rolled his shoulders in a shrug.
Besides, if I stick that card in my heart, then will I grow up to be the type of guy who disappears when the going gets tough?
That seemed to stump her. She cocked her head to the side.
There's something to be said for bravely running away. But it's your card. If you're going to keep it in that bag, you need to learn how to defend it.
Arthur started to perk up, but then almost as quickly sagged again. His Master of Skills card didn't include combat or any techniques which would enhance his body. That meant he would have to do it the hard way.
I'm not good at fighting, he said. That's what practice is for. Even us dragon riders learn a few defensive moves. Here, I'll show you.
She stood, and Arthur backed a step, shaking his head.
How will that help against someone who can stick me to a wall with magic?
Her dark eyes flashed.
Because until you have cards to help you, you gotta use every tool you have. Why didn't you yell for help? Deacon wasn't squishing your lungs, was he?
Well, no,
he admitted.
Would it have done any good?
All dragon riders love getting new cards, but not everybody around here will go as low as to rob a little kid.
She snapped, as if offended.
Besides, what if somebody ran up to see what was going on? That might have given you a second to escape.
Again, escaping from somebody stronger and larger who wanted what he had, well, it hadn't clicked to Arthur that it was possible. Back in his old village, the Baron's men took whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted. They took from people who had next to nothing, and everybody just had to grin and bear it. Nobody had stolen from him in the caravan, but he was well aware that Red probably could not have stopped them if they tried. But he wasn't in the village, and by now he had lived longer in the orphanage than he had at the caravan. The hive wasn't perfect, but it was both fairer and freer. And he was growing up. Soon he wouldn't be a little kid who had to take whatever unfairness an adult dished out. He met Kenzie's eyes.
Okay. Show me.
He and Kenzie spent the next half hour or so going through three twisting maneuvers to break different holds. They practiced them several times, with Kenzie gripping his arm and Arthur twisting out of it using various angles. Kenzie advised him to go for a man or woman's weak points, the eyes, the nose, and between the legs. It felt strange to practice diligently at something and not receive a skill for it. Arthur felt rusty and a little frustrated with himself that his practice came with no level indicators or random bursts of wisdom to help him out. Still, Kenzie said he was doing good and promised next time to teach him some knife tricks if he purchased a good one. When they broke for a quick break, Arthur bit his lower lip in consideration.
Kenzie, you said there are people who can mess with others' minds? The white dragons?
She waved a hand.
You'll probably never meet one. They live on the higher levels. People who can alter thoughts scare the nobles and the king, so there are all sorts of restrictions on them. Why do the nobles put up with them at all?
Her expression turned grave.
They're mostly pulled out when an eruption happens under a big city. You need a mind mage to keep people from panicking, stampeding over one another, or tearing each other to bits to get away from the scourge.
That painted a picture he had never imagined before. Arthur shuddered. But his curiosity grew. Was it possible to block that type of magic? And if it was, would that be considered a body enhancement skill, which would be out of his reach, or a learned skill?
When you made me laugh earlier, oh, it was horrible, he confessed. But in the end, I felt like I was close to throwing you off.
She gave him an odd look.
What do you mean?
There was no point dancing around the subject. He decided just to ask.
Could you do it again?
Two or three more times? He added silently. That should be enough to learn if he could develop a skill against it.
I want to see if it's possible to toss you out of my mind. I'm not really in your mind. It's more like I'm pressing down on your aura, she said. And why? It's not like many people can do what I can.
He shrugged.
It's not all that likely I'm going to be mugged by someone with a knife in the hive, but I'm still practicing.
She stared at him for a moment.
Are you worried that I'm manipulating you? Because I'm only an uncommon. My powers are a little like hitting you with a mallet. It's not subtle. People can tell when I'm using it. That's why I'm not up there with the mind mages.
She pointed upward.
I'm not worried about that, he said. I just want to see if I can fight against it.
Again, she stared at him, and he got the impression that she was looking deep into his aura. Well, if she was, she would only see his curiosity. He wasn't afraid of her. He wanted to see what he could learn from her, and what he could learn about himself.
Fine, Kenzie sounded vaguely exasperated. But I'm not going to use fear or make you cry, you understand? Messing with emotions like this can get ugly.
That's fine, he said quickly, and would have said more to reassure her, but in the next second, it was as if all of the breath had been punched out of his lungs. His next inhale came out as screamed laughter. And this time it was more of a scream than a laugh. It was not fun at all. Kenzie cut it after a few seconds, leaving Arthur doubled over.
Had enough?
She asked. Gritting his teeth, he forced himself to shake his head.
No, that took me by surprise. Let me try again.
She looked doubtful, but this time waited for him to nod before she mentally pressed down on his aura. Once again, Arthur was caught in the throes of hysterical laughter, and it hurt, physically. He was belly laughing and trying to stop at the same time, and it felt like the muscles in his core were trying to tear themselves apart. Kenzie cut it off and said something that Arthur missed because he got a message from his card. New skill gained. Basic empathic resistance. Shield class. Due to your card's bonus traits, you automatically start this skill at level 3. Shield class? That was new. And he got the impression, through the link in the card that rested in his heart, that this was a borderline case. If Kenzie were a true mind mage and not a silver mystic, he wouldn't have been able to develop the skill. He focused on what Kenzie was saying.
People are going to call the guards, thinking I'm torturing you in here, and they'd be right.
No,
he said.
One more time. I almost have it.
You're crazy. Wait, you don't like this, do you?
He shook his head.
It's terrible. That's why I have to figure out a way to stop it.
Once again, she stared at him as if trying to read his emotions. And one more time, she was reluctantly convinced. This time, Arthur still laughed, but it wasn't as close to a tortured scream. It was more like near hysteria. That was a shade better. He even got a new level out of it. New skill level, basic empathic resistance, shield class, level 4. Kenzie cut off her influence and looked at him.
You know, I felt something there. Almost like you were pushing back a little. I didn't think that was possible.
Her expression darkened.
But I'm not doing that again for a while.
Arthur, who was heaving in gusts of breath, nodded and wiped at his cheeks with the back of his hand. They came away wet with laughter tears.
That's fine. I'm ready for a break anyway.
He had gotten what he wanted, a new skill, and the hint of an interesting class. Once he could stand up fully, he reached into his vest and pulled out his card anchor bag.
How about a trade?
He had 7 uncommon shard pieces in total, which included Horatio's pay. The other boy had trusted Arthur enough to trade on his behalf. Kenzie, true to her word, exchanged them. Arthur got 2 regular rare pieces for his 4 uncommon, seeing as one of his had been a treasured corner piece. Horatio got 1 rare for his 3 regular uncommon pieces. This was still a much better exchange rate than they would have gotten in the city, even from Barlow. Kenzie sighed in mock regret as she got the worst part of the deal. Her half of the agreement was that she would get both Arthur and Horatio as recruits. From the hints she had dropped, Arthur suspected that she would also gain an additional bonus if and when they linked with the dragon.
I'm looking for another job, too,
Arthur said as he put his new shard pieces away.
A third job? Jeez, kid, do you ever plan to sleep?
I worked harder as a farmer, he said, which was only a small lie. Working the dragon soil fields had been difficult and deadly, and starving was even worse. Arthur didn't mind working hard to get skills and food at regular times.
Do you know anyone who's hiring for kitchen work in the mid-morning? I'm good at meal prep.
Kenzie opened her mouth, hesitated, and shut it with a shake of her head.
No. I mean, I know a place, but it's not really for kids.
That got Arthur's interest.
What is it? It's a bar on the first level, she said, which means that sometimes the city folk uses it when they want the thrill of being in a hive. It's kind of a seedy place.
That sounded perfect.
Can you show me?
Again, she hesitated, but then nodded.
On one condition. What's that?
Kenzie smiled.
You're a hive recruit now. So it's about time you meet the hatchlings.